UK authorities seek answers from Facebook, and a British analytics firm accused of harvesting the personal data of 50 million social media users.
No one's too big to be face questioning, and the time has come for them to front up.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. UK authorities are seeking a warrant to search computers belonging to Cambridge Analytica, the firm accused of using the personal data of 50 million Facebook members to influence the 2016 US election. The users had their data accessed by an app after they or one of their friends took an online personality test on the platform. Facebook sent its own auditors to the British data company's London headquarters last night, but the UK regulator asked them to stand down while its own investigation is underway. Here's UK Information Commissioner Elizabeth Denham.
So the allegation is that Cambridge Analytica acquired personal data in an unauthorised way, and the Data Protection Act in the UK is a strong law. It's getting stronger. But we're looking at whether or not there was sufficient consent for individuals to be able to share their data with the application in the first place. We're looking at whether or not Facebook secured and safeguarded personal information on the platform, and whether when they found out about the loss of the data, whether they acted robustly and whether or not people were informed.
Conservative politician Damien Collins heads up the British Parliament's Digital and Media Committee. He wants the CEO of Cambridge Analytica, Alexander Nix, and Facebook boss Mark Zuckerberg to appear before the committee for questioning.
When he gave evidence to the committee, Mr. Nix denied that they'd received that data. And so we have questions for him about why it was he denied that. But it is concerning why a company like Cambridge Analytica was able to buy the data profiles of 50 million Facebook users. That Facebook knew about this for 2 years without doing anything about it. And they only finally acted to suspend Cambridge Analytica from using their platform this weekend when The Observer broke the story in their investigation. Last month, we had some hearings in America where we were discussing these very issues. And today, I'll be writing to Mark Zuckerberg, asking him to come in front of the committee. Because when we had those hearings with Facebook, we asked them directly about their relationship with Cambridge Analytica. We asked them about the way in which developers can acquire Facebook user data and how they monitor what they do with it. They weren't able to give us any clear answers on those questions. And I think the time has come now for the person that founded this company, who is its public face, to actually speak in public and answer questions about it. No one's too big to be face questioning, and the time has come for them to front up and answer these difficult questions.
Both Facebook and Cambridge Analytica deny any wrongdoing. Mr. Nix says the services they provided to Donald Trump's campaign were perfectly legitimate.
We see this as a coordinated attack by the media that's been going on for very, very many months in order to damage the company that had some involvement with the election of Donald Trump.
Alexander Nix, let's do the numbers. Shares of Facebook ended yesterday's session down more than 6% amid a sell-off in the broader tech sector. Investors are keeping a close eye on developments from the Cambridge Analytica fallout as they consider what it might mean for future industry regulation. Meanwhile, Lundy's FTSE 100 is little changed after figures this hour showed February inflation grew less than expected from a year ago. This week, we're taking a look at the problem of waste plastic. Today, the BBC's Howard Johnson reports from the Philippines, where some businesses are trying to clean up the archipelago's beaches.
I'm here on the bustling Urbis Tondo High Street in the La Union province in the north of the Philippines, a very popular surf resort. Now, what a lot of surfers here are saying is that there is a problem with plastic being washed up on the beach and floating past them, surfing in the sea. Now, I've come along to meet the co-founder of an environmentally friendly hostel here who says he has a solution to the problem.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rafael Junisha from the Philippines. My business partner and I, Ziggy, put up a chain of surf hostels. We basically get people to stuff single-use plastic in used water bottles. No? Then we use it as a construction material. No? Walls, garden boxes, sometimes even children's playgrounds or benches. And so we've had some success stories wherein schools, after one presentation, the teacher and the principal were so happy, they just banned plastic from school. We're looking to replicate small wins like that.
It's Monday morning here on Urbis Tondo Beach, and I'm just taking a stroll. I have to say, it's not the cleanest of beaches. Let's go meet one person who's trying to make a difference when it comes to littering on this beach.
My name is Camille Pilar, and I am one of the owners of Clean Beach, a new coffee shop here in San Juan, La Union. So we have these beach baskets. You can borrow them, and on your spare time lounging on the beach, you could pick up certain litter or certain pieces of plastic that you see along the way. And then when you bring the basket back full of the trash, we give you a free refreshment.
The big problem in the Philippines is that it generates so much plastic in the first place, and that's because of something called the sachet economy. Poorer people buying smaller quantities of everyday goods because they simply can't afford to buy larger amounts. Here's Philippine economist Bob Herrera Lim of Tenio Intelligence.
The Philippines doesn't have the ability to process the waste that is generated by increased economic activity. The challenge is getting everyone to act together.
In the Philippines, I'm the BBC's Howard Johnson for Marketplace.
And finally, smartphone use is being blamed for a 7% jump in the sale of eye drops in Japan. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.